The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. This is the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Thank you for joining me. Here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I got some breaking news here in Ohio concerning the courts and Dr. Amy Acton, but we'll get to that a little later because Nasika in Leesburg, Virginia, has been waiting very patiently on the line, and I want to go to her right away. Nasika, I hope you are still there in Leesburg, Virginia. Welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question about Seattle, and it's kind of shocking what's going on, but is there a possibility that they can bring in reinforcement from, like, the military to help get these people out? It seems like it's illegal to do, right?
Well, it is. Of course it's illegal, but yeah. The problem is, the mayor of Seattle says what they're doing is great. It's patriotic. And after all, they're having spaghetti potlucks. How could they be bad people if they're having spaghetti potlucks?
Wow. It's
insane, Nasika. It really is. Wow. Now, the president said just moments ago that he is giving the governor of Washington and the mayor of Seattle a short amount of time to deal with this armed insurrection, and if they don't take care of it, he will. Now, he has not said what that means, I would hate to see an armed confrontation, but we cannot allow armed anarchists to overrun a large portion of a major American city. How can we allow that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob, and hope you enjoy. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thank you. You are in Leesburg, Virginia.
I am. We used to live in Alexandria and we moved last summer, so
okay.
Yeah, we really like it.
How did you know about this program? Was it when I was filling in for Don Crow?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Many years ago, and ever since, I've been tuning on to you every day on my drive home from work. So,
oh my goodness! Well, yeah. Well, thank you, Nasika. I appreciate it. God bless you, and thank you for calling from Virginia.
Thank you, and God bless to you.
All right, you as well. God bless. All right, I don't want to fan the flames of any kind of conspiracy, but The sudden, unexpected resignation of Dr. Amy Acton yesterday, I think, caught everybody by surprise. And there are all kinds of conspiracies running around. Why now? Why did it happen? And so forth. And I had no idea until today. And I am not sure this had anything to do with it at all. But here is some breaking news. Many of you know that Cedar Fair Entertainment, I think that's the technical term, the company that owns Kings Island and Cedar Point, filed a lawsuit against Dr. Amy Acton, the state of Ohio, and Governor DeWine, demanding that they be allowed to open sooner than the state had given them permission to do. Well, that is kind of winding through the courts, and the governor kind of said, okay, we'll let you open, and I think they've reached an agreement. But Kalahari Resorts, now they're owned by a big company in Wisconsin, And they have, I don't know how many resorts, but they have a couple in Wisconsin. They have one here in Ohio. The parent company of Kalahari sued specifically Dr. Amy Acton over her closure of entertainment venues and so on and so forth. And their contention was it was unconstitutional. Well, today, a federal judge, Robert E. Binett, I think B-I-N-E-T-T-E, has, and again, this is today, I'm looking at the court papers, and it's dated today at 12:17 p.m. today. And it's an 11-page judgment. And it is a very strong judgment against Dr. Amy Acton. She is called out specifically in the court papers, and the judge says that what she did was absolutely unconstitutional. Let me read just some portions. I haven't read every single word, but during the top of the hour break, I read as much as I could. On page 3, under findings, quote, likelihood or probability of success of prevailing on the merits of their underlying claim action. Defendant Acton is the director of health who, in her capacity, issued various closure orders. A brief summary of the orders pertinent to this matter is important before addressing the party's positions. And then there's a long list of the individual closure orders, March 22nd, April 2nd, April 30th, May 29th, and so forth. And those orders are listed in the court documents. On page 4, and I quote, as to their likelihood, these are the plaintiffs. This is Kalahari. As to their likelihood of prevailing successfully on the merits, plaintiffs assert that defendant Acton, and this is important, this lawsuit is not just against the state of Ohio, but Amy Acton personally as the director of the Ohio Department of Health. Plaintiffs assert that defendant Acton does not possess the authority to close their business. Alternatively, that the authority given to her is impermissibly unbridled and in violation of certain constitutional rights. Let me skip just a little bit. Plaintiffs claim that RC paragraph 3701.352, in connection with RC 3701.13, empowers the Department of Health, defendant Acton, unfettered discretion to create their own criminal offenses. This is impermissibly vague because it fails to provide due process to its citizens, allows for subjective enforcement because it fails to have sufficiently defined and precise standards, and inhibits judicial review. Basically, it fails to give guidance to others because it does not contain sufficient, definite, and precise standards to allow others to ascertain whether the legislating authority's guidance has been followed. Moreover, it is vague in guidance to the citizens. Further, due process requires that the state provide meaningful standards in its laws to allow those enforcing them to apply them. This is to avoid arbitrary and discriminatory enforcement by those applying them. And then it goes on and on and on. And when it finally gets to the court analysis, first and more important, the court is concerned with where defendant Acton draws her authority to issue the May 29th order, so on and so forth. Basically, the conclusion of the court and the judge is she did not have the authority. She did not have the power. It violated the Constitution and the constitutional rights of businesses that were impacted. During the next break, I'll try to read more and give you a little closer analysis. But it is a pretty strong rebuke against not just the state of Ohio, but specifically Dr. Amy Acton. Is that part of the reason why she suddenly resigned? Don't know. I honestly don't know, but it is fascinating to look at the timing. We'll keep an eye on this. And again, I'll try to read more of the decision during the next break. Just fascinating. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Wow. I'm trying to read 11 pages of legal gobbledygook during the break. This is breaking news. A judge here in Ohio has ruled in very strong wording against former director of the Department of Health, Amy Acton, in a case where Kalahari Water Park sued Dr. Acton over her orders to close certain businesses, some, not others, and so on and so forth. And it's a very strongly worded judgment against Dr. Acton. And the bottom line is this judge has determined that her actions were absolutely unconstitutional. On page 5, under the court's analysis, it says, among other things, again, I can't read all of it to you, the Ohio Department of Health used a statute from the early 1800s, 134 years ago, about pandemics and so forth. It has not been used in 134 years until now, and it is that antiquated law that the Department of Health and Governor DeWine has used to give an unelected appointment official almost unbridled authority. Well, the judge disagrees with that. He says, quote, however, a literal reading of RC blah, blah, blah reveals it does not state defendant Acton has the authority to make special orders for preventing the spread of contagious or infectious diseases. Thus, her criterion, or pardon me, thus her citation of that statute is misplaced. Well, that's what this whole thing is about. She has power and authority according to this statute. This judge says, no. Quote, her citation to that statute is misplaced, and the validity of the May 29th order, which was the last order that said water parks can't open yet, the validity of the May 29th order on its face is questionable. The question becomes then, if not from RC paragraph 371.13, where does she get that authority? Maybe from case law, but certainly not from that statute. Next page. Putting that unargued challenge aside, this court will continue its analysis in making the assumption that the other parties have made, to wit, that defendant Acton possesses that authority, but defendant Acton has stated that the purpose of the May 29th order is safety. There's been no proof submitted to this court that Defendant Acton's order stops the spread of contagious or infectious disease. Moreover, there has been no evidence that Defendant Acton's order, the continuous closure, has any effect on the prevention and spreading of the virus in regards to the plaintiff's business, and that's Kalahari. That is, if their business was done safely as prescribed by the Reopen Ohio program. Further, Governor DeWine has expressed in the June 5th press conference that businesses like the plaintiffs have elaborate plans that we believe are consistent with the protection of the health. Further, Commissioner Shade has testified that Defendant Kalahari has a good plan in place to reopen safely. Additionally, Defendant Kalahari, through Mr. Shanley, has testified that the local health department office, Craig Ward, informed them they had a good plan and could open. But they, the Defendant Health Department, Amy Acton, had to comply with the Defendant Acton's order. Let me skip down just a little bit. The question then is, why the continued closure of Plaintiff Kalahari's business at this point? Commissioner Shade offered only that it appears Defendant Acton and Governor DeWine were waiting on more data. This court wonders, what data are they looking for? Do they have data from other water parks that are currently in use in which to compare Defendant Kalahari? And if so, why are those water parks allowed to be in use and Kalahari is not allowed to? The answer would appear they don't have that type of data available due to the May 29th order that prohibits all water parks to not be in operation. I don't want to bore you, but let me jump down. The statute granting her the authority, power to enforce and criminalize, violates the separation of powers that exist in our constitutional framework to protect our citizens from the consolidation of power in one person. Laws and policy are to be made by our elected legislature accountable to its citizens. The delegation of their power to an administrative agency is for the purpose of shaping that policy. And then I'm running out of time. Listen to this. This unbridled and unfettered consolidation of authority in one unelected official is dangerous grounds to tread on. Wow. Pretty strong. So the finding of the court is Dr. Amy Acton did not have the authority. It was unconstitutional and violated the legislative process here in the state of Ohio. So it's not just a ruling in favor of Kalahari. It is a very strongly worded legal condemnation of Dr. Acton and says clearly the orders that she made were unconstitutional. She did not have the authority to make them without the legislature. And she resigned yesterday. Fascinating.